Welcome to another episode of Daryl Davis Black and Green. Hey, everybody. For those of you who are new to the program, thank you for tuning in. Nothing is better to see than logging into my podcast data and seeing new people coming on board. As I want to emphasize, Daryl Davis Black and Green is not just another podcast. It is an extension of a movement based in northern Westchester, New York, but we're active all over. Wherever you call us, me, Committee for Justice, we're there for the people. Please share the program, like it, please subscribe. Brother Davis has ran up some legal fees getting arrested, fighting for our community against racist and corrupt politicians, mostly in Westchester County. So, yeah, welcome everybody. You know, we just lost an icon. We black people, Richard Roundtree, the original John Shaft, passed away this week. A New Rochelle native, and you know, I want to get a little personal here, because when Shaft came out, a very young, impressionable Daryl Davis went to the movies to see this this black, bold, fearless man on the big screen. And we can't lose sight of significance of this kind of image to young, impressionable minds. Because growing up black in America, and especially pre-70s, the images of black men were not very strong, and those that were strong were not very positive. Throughout the history of Hollywood, the black image was very often the person coming through the window of the white family to rob the house or rape the wife. And these were the images that were just pumped out into the psyche of America, black and white. And so the other thing was clowns, you know, the black clown. The you know, when people would see a black image, if Hollywood was generous enough to put a black person in a film, it was either to show servility, you know, a service person, a butler, a maid, or for a laugh, you know. And so when you would see a black image come across the screen, get ready to laugh. And so here comes John Shaft, a black private detective who grew up in the streets, who ran with his best friend who became a black revolutionary, who headed a Black Panther type organization, and also was acquainted with the leading black mobster in Harlem, Bumpy Jones Johnson, based on the real Harlem mobster who took on Dutch Schultz. And so here you have this strong black male image, fearless and bumping heads with the police and the mafia, and I had never seen that before. And Richard Roundtree, I remember reading an article about him, and he said that Gordon Parks, the director, pulled him aside and said, "Yo, bro, listen, you got to step up your performance. This is just not a role. This is a social responsibility." And I have to say, and if you have not seen the original Shaft, I'm not talking about the remake. I'm talking about the original. I think it was 1972. And so we lost this man. Now, he wasn't just Shaft. Richard Roundtree was a very gifted actor. And he went on, of course, there was a Shaft 2, Shaft's Big Score, and then there was Shaft in Africa. And for me personally, I don't get into all of these sequels. very rare exceptions. But anyway, Richard Roundtree, great actor, icon, working actor up until the day we lost him. But this leads me into something related, this whole black exploitation concept that this Hollywood NAACP president, black man, I think his name was Griffith, attacked the black film industry. Now there's some controversy there, and we ain't gonna split hairs, because while he had a legitimate critique, he coined the phrase blaxploitation, because his basic argument was that he had two main points that I saw when I did my research. The first one was that Hollywood is exploiting the black market, the black audience, by putting together these all black films, you know, black actors, and the money was going to white Hollywood. And so that was one of his critiques. His other critique was that it reinforced black stereotypes in America. You know, he mentioned, you know, with the success of Shaft, he mentioned Superfly, starring Ron O'Neill, who also passed away, but years ago. I went to the movies and saw Superfly, and I said, look at this cool dude, dressing nice, driving his fancy car. Yeah, he was making his money as a drug dealer. But to say that was black people's fault, that this movie was made, when right next to, you can leave the theater from watching Superfly and go right in and see The Godfather, or the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, you know, and these are white mobsters, films celebrated, making millions, part of our culture now. Take the cannoli, leave the gun, make you an offer you can't refuse. These are all celebrated. A double standard. And so when you make movies, you make movies of the whole experience. What did Griffith and these black exploitation proponents expect? What were we going to make movies about? Black people making the pyramids? Who was going to fund that then or now? Black inventors, black scientists, black politicians? No. You always have to start somewhere. And then it leads to the movies. You make the movies you can make until you can make the movies you want to make. That is a business strategy 101. And so these criticisms were unfair. I still watch Shaft. I still watch Superfly. You had the Mac, another monster hit, Pimp. You know, but white America makes these movies all the time. A lot of them are considered classics. A lot of them being given Academy Awards. And Shaft and Superfly and the Mac is not all of black America. And so if we're to say that making these films reinforces, you're not reinforcing anything that white Hollywood has not already created. And why aren't they being held responsible for changing those stereotypes? They're the ones with the billion-dollar budgets. Why aren't they being held accountable? So I absolutely disagree. And on top of that, listen to the soundtracks of the so-called blaxploitation era. Listen to the soundtracks. Curtis Mayfield, Isaac Hayes, what was the soundtrack? Marvin Gaye. Listen to the lyrics. Oh, it was social commentary. This wasn't just music. This was social commentary. And I'm telling you that we missed an opportunity. Now, Black Belt Jones with the late, great Jim Kelly. Not the greatest actor, be the first to admit that, but his screen presence. The acting can come with experience, with coaching, but Hollywood didn't get behind him when Bruce Lee died. They should have. They jumped behind Chuck Norris, and if you listen to my show, Dear Chuck Norris, you already know how I feel about that. Black Belt Jones, martial arts movie. Three the Hard Way, Jim Brown, Jim Kelly, Fred Williamson, The Hammer, Fred Williamson. You know, these were strong black male images, and these folks wanted to zero in on the pimp and the pusher and torpedo a growing black genre and economy. So you make the movies you can make until you can make the movies you want to make. I remember when Black Panther was announced, a lot of my super black militants went crazy. Only white people are benefiting from these movies. And I said, hold on now. First of all, calm down, because I want to remind you that there is no black man running around the jungle in a black suit talking about the Black Panther movie. I said, but you have to do these movies to show the world that they're profitable, because Hollywood was putting out memos saying black stars, black movies don't make money, so we're not making those movies. And here comes Black Panther, shatters box office records, opened the door for a movie to be made about a real Black Panther, Fred Hampton, assassinated by FBI and Chicago police. So they made the movie that they couldn't make, which, by the way, is a damn good movie, to get to a movie that we want to make. Wasn't the best. I'm not a fan of it, but it opens the door for these type of movies to be made. And so what's happening now? Black actors and actresses are being funded. They're opening their production companies. And this is the strategy. You know, we even black people, we have a tendency to feel hostile toward anything black. This is what this culture teaches. It's part of the holdover from justifying slavery to a Christian population. Everything black is negative and evil and bad. And so the institution of slavery, you can argue whether it still exists or not, but that was addressed. But the educational and cultural aspects that make black people think black people are inferior, we're still bumping into them every day. Fred Williamson said in response to black exploitation, who was exploited? My check cleared. All my actors' checks cleared. All the black directors and black writers and producers, all their checks cleared. And he was right. Yes, the ultimate profit went to white people who financed it. That's business. But you create a lot of opportunity, a lot of jobs for black artists, and they use the black man, NAACP president, to torpedo that. Not just him, but, you know, they always want one of us to carry the ball. And so anyway, this was my humble way of honoring Richard Roundtree and black artists in the film industry, and to say I don't agree with this black exploitation concept. I think we should revisit it. I think I'm telling people, go watch these movies, listen to the soundtracks. A lot of social commentary in there. I'm going to wind this program down. Listen, everybody, again, please share the program. This is a movement. It's not just a talk show. And always remember, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.